If you're here this morning, you are a Christian, the song we just sung, you can take stock in it. That's exactly what it's going to be. On the other hand, if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you're just wasting your breath of singing those songs. God won't have mercy on you, and He won't let you in heaven with your sins. But we can correct that this morning. And I know there's some here that that needs to respond. Well, you can take care of that. In a few moments, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song. I've got some good news for you. The preacher that you had this morning is not very long. He's very short. I got another good news. Our regular preacher will be back next Sunday. Nate was supposed to preach this morning. He went off someplace else, so he'll be here tonight. When he gets here, everybody in here, just stick your tongue out at him. But Micah's mother is with us, and I forgot her name, but she's a good-looking woman just like her daughter. And I'm a recognized beauty because I'm married to a good-looking woman. I told my granddaughter this morning when we live in heaven, I said, I said, let me tell you something about your grandpa. He's married to the best-looking woman in Bowling Green. But we're glad that you're here. If you're not a Christian, we'll take care of that. There's at least three people in this audience that I have baptized. Not that I'm gloating over that. My youngest daughter was baptized down at Florida College. And I missed out on that. And she was so bad yesterday, we tried to get her to go to the hospital. And the only excuse she would give us, it cost her $200 to check in. And I told Cindy, I said, go over and tell her, you take her to the emergency room and bring $200. She wouldn't do it. I haven't heard from her this morning, but she's supposed to go back to the doctor tomorrow. My oldest daughter is here. I had the privilege of baptizing her at 12th Street. My son-in-law is here. I had the privilege of baptizing him at Lost River. And Neil's here, and I had the privilege of baptizing him here. Boy, I sure like to add to that number. Tell Doug, I said, maybe you ought to be able to go in a little bit longer. But we're glad that you're here. In order to live up my word, I guess we need to get started. And I'd like to talk to you this morning about, look here, it's on the screen. I'd like to talk to you about Satan's devices. Why would you want to talk about that? Because God warns us about Satan's devices and tools. And it's something that we need to shun. Satan devices. Satan is a real being. We need to not have an illusion about that. He's very smart. He's very cunning. But he is not equal to God. God is greater. And if we're a child of God, we have God and the Holy Spirit and His Son living within us that's helping us to fight against Satan. That's what Revelation is about. And by the way, Scott had a nice introductory to the Lord's Table. I knew to take that and incorporate it in Revelation because it would make a good slide for Revelation. In 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, in verse 11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices and his ways. So that's what we're talking about this morning. Some of his ways, some of the devices that he has, that he is very dangerous. For those of us here this morning that was in the service, I'm sure you went through a time where they talked to you about the enemy and made us aware of the enemy. I was stationed in MP out on the West Coast, and they always told us about the enemies. We went through classes and everything. You need to know the enemy and know what they're doing and some of the traits that he has. That was back in the 60s when the Vietnam War was going. We had a lot of protests going on. And we didn't have very many MP reserves to call out and to assist the police department. So they said, first thing they'll try to do is divide you. They'll act like they're going to attack on this side, but really they're coming on this side, you know. Different things like that. Satan has devices, too, that he uses against us. He's using them against me, and he's using them against you. And I'm sorry to tell you, I fail for some of them sometime. I'm sorry that. I repent. And I do less now than I used to. We need to be wise about them so he will not take advantage of us. He will take advantage of us if we let. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and verse 13 and 15. For such are false apostles, talking about one of Satan's tools. And that's been that way ever since. Deceitful workers. It's been that way ever since the beginning of time. Transforming themselves into apostles. Did they do that? Yes, they did. Satan does that. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. He's around and bungering right now, convincing people that they are following the gospel when they're lost. They are honest people, sincere people that's being deceived. Satan's doing that. Therefore, it is no great thing of his ministry also transforming themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. People, there's people in this community that Satan has used to deceive us. And the only way I know to keep him from deceiving us is to be familiar with our tool that we have. First thing I'd like to talk to you about, and I sat down and wrote up some of these things, and if I had to do over again, I probably had a different group of things. And then what I have is not all of his devices, of all of his tools that he has. But we've already alluded to this. Number one that I have on my item, he's always trying to install false doctrine. We can look around, and I've passed, and I'm sure you did too, several denominations on the way out here this morning. That's where Satan has deceived people. I passed by some large congregation denominations this morning, and they are some of them very sincere and honest people, but they're being led astray by Satan. They've been told one thing to be saved when the Bible says something else. We need to be aware of that. He has ministers that perverts the gospel. During the New Testament times, they did that. He did that. That's the reason we have so many churches today, which is really not his church. Because in the New Testament time, there was only one. He caused a lot of good, honest people to be lost. That's the reason we need to be on guard here at Southside. Let none of his ministers come in and deceive us so that we lose our souls. That is the first device I like to talk about. The second one I like to talk about, he causes us to forget or be unappreciated to whom we belong to. And Satan will come along there and try to convince us that. He gets us very busy and let us become distracted. The enemy always tries to do that. The enemy tries to distract you. And one of Satan's tools that he has, or devices he has, is get us so busy. And it works. It has worked in my case, and I'm sure it probably has worked in your case. We need to be on guard to that. That's Satan's working with us. 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation. We need to look upon ourselves higher than what Satan tried to tell us we are. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. What does that mean? That means that we're going to go to heaven. People said, well, I just don't know if I'm going to make it. What do you mean you don't know where you're going to make it or not? If you're a child of God, he says in 1 John, the 5th chapter, about verse 13, these things I write to you that you might know that you have eternal life, and eternal life is in my Son, Jesus Christ. God wants us to do that. The devil doesn't want us to believe that, but God wants us to. God wants us to. So are you in Jesus Christ? Well, there's only two scriptures that I can think of that tells us how to get into Jesus Christ. Galatians, the 3rd chapter, about verse 27, and Romans, the 6th chapter, and verse 3. And they both says we are buried with him in baptism, raising up with remission of sins. I talked to a lady yesterday, invited, matter of fact, I invited one yesterday and one Friday, and neither one showed up today, so I must not have done a very good job. But this is Leonard and Charlene's youngest granddaughter. She was coming out of Kroger's when I was going in Kroger's. And I said, you need to come out there where your grandparents went to church. I said, your mother needed to be saved, even though she's a mighty fine woman. And she finally was. I said, your grandfather was a rascal. I'll just tell you like it is. And when he got out of the baptistry, it was full of sin. They all washed it away. Not very many people got out of the baptistry and left that many sin. But he did. And young as and sweet as you are, you have sins too. You need to come. And give you the very most important reason to come. And it's probably the reason she's not here. I'm preaching in the morning. Who was once not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. My friends, we're going to, if we're in Jesus Christ, we're going to be in heaven because of God's mercy and God's grace. Don't let nobody ever tell you any different than that. Believe it. Believe it. People say, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be saved or not. I don't know if I can live that life. Yes, you can. God said you could. God said, I'll help you. 1 John, the 1st chapter and verse 9 says, as you repent, I will forgive you. So God has provided a way. Don't let Satan come along and convince us that we're not worthy of heaven, not good enough for heaven, because God said, I'll take care of your sins. You can go. We need to remember how it was in darkness when we were not God's people. We don't live there anymore. We're not in darkness. We serve a risen Savior. We never want to go back to that point again. Third thing is on my list of one of the things I find is a tool of Satan is that our prayer life slows down. You know, we are to be a praying people. God might not answer all of our prayers. He might answer them his way and his time. But we need to pray. And you know what prayer is? Prayer is talking to God. I know he knows what was on our mind. I know he knows what we want, but he wants us to talk to him. We need to pray. We get to the point we see our prayer life is not what it ought to be, then one of Satan's devices has got us. One of his tools has us. He's leading us astray. Jesus was a praying man. We need to be like Jesus. Well, I don't know how to pray. You prayed God just like you talked to Charlie. You did it on your hands and knees and you said, Lord, I guess I need to talk to you for a few minutes. If you haven't ever done that, you don't know how to pray. If you haven't never got down, pour out your heart to God, then Satan's got you. We need to get away from him. His disciple was praying people. The apostles asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Not how to perform miracles or how to baptize, but how to pray. It's one of the most important tools that we have. And Satan will try to take it away from us. We need to spend some time with the Lord. Here's a really good tool of Satan. Our attendance dwindle. Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. If you find yourself not present here, then Satan has a hold on you. That's the one way he attacks us, is in our attendance. (Clears throat) Why is that so important? We need to be together to draw strength from each other. When I was in the service of what we pull downtown duty, MP duty, you never went into a place by yourself. You wait until AP, Shore Patrol, somebody, or more MPs come and go in with you. You know? You need the strength. That's the way we are here. When we come together, we're around other Christians that are struggling with sins and doing the same thing that I'm doing. And I take a lot of comfort then. Matter of fact, we should socialize with Christians to draw strength from them. Our attendance is one way that Satan, if we talk ourselves out of attending, Satan is winning. Oh, I just got home and I'm tired. I need to lay on the couch a little bit. Well, there's a good ball game on tonight, a good show. Satan's winning. Satan's winning. You want to tell God that Satan's winning? Then just don't be here tonight. Satan's winning. If Satan wins, we lose our home in heaven. You don't want to do that. If you did, you wouldn't be here. You'd be gone already. So that's another one of his tools and devices. He tries to get us to focus on and relive our past guilt. My friends, we got to forget about our sins. We can't wallow around in our sins that we left in the baptism or we left in prayer when we prayed. We can't wallow around in our guilt. Satan will try to get us to do that and try to get us to think about it and consequence of it and everything. We got to shun it away. We're not his people anymore. He tried to convince us, oh, you got so many sins, God ain't going to take. Yes, God will. God said he would. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 22. Since you have purified. You know what purified is? Purify your soul in obedience to the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. When Satan tries to approach you, say, no, Satan, I don't have a corrupt heart no more. I have a pure heart. I have a type of heart that's going to heaven because of God's mercy and grace. God cleansed us from all unrighteousness and gave us a pure heart. We need to act like it. Satan says, don't act like it. We need to say, get behind me, Satan, act like it. When he looks at us, he sees a pure heart. That's what God sees. And we got to, somewhere along the line, get to the point of being that away. Tom talked to me real quick about his mother and what she'd do. And I said, when my mother was dying in the hospital, I didn't know she was dying. All her family, all her grandkids and daughter-in-laws and sons was there and was gathered around the table. She was complaining about the tube down her throat. I thought the tube was down there to save her life. The doctors never did let me know. If I knew she was going to die, that tube would came out. And I'd have seen what she wanted to tell me. So that's the way I responded to Tom. I said, oh, he said, his mother's got a tube down there. When the doctor tells you that it won't get no better, what do? You pull the plug. If I knew my mother was not going to get well, if they just gave me any hint of it, and all her family is around there and still sitting there watching as the signs go down, beep, 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 and it's gone. And the spirit has left the body. I'd have pulled the plug a few minutes before. And she could tell her family whatever she wanted to do. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask her what she wanted to do. We don't focus on the past guilt. We look forward to the future. We spend less and less time in the Bible. Really?
Are you doing that?
God's word is what I need every day, but Satan tells us, oh, you don't have time for do that. You don't have time to sit down and read the Bible. That's one of Satan's devices. We need to stay away from it. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you want to increase your faith? The only way you're going to do it is hear the word of God. We turn to on each other. This is probably about the one of the ugliest things that can happen within a church. It's everyone else's fault. And we point our finger to everybody else. We got to get away from that. Yeah, that's a tool of Satan. When we do something like that, Satan has control of us. When we all do is complain and bring nothing to the table, Satan is working on us. I call them pointers. When we have people point, well, what about this? Well, what about the bugs outside? Nobody didn't get the broom. You know where the broom is? Get it and sweep it up. We don't need pointers. We need more that to do. If you find yourself a pointer, oh, come and tell the elders something's wrong. Go do it. That's a tool of Satan. It's easy to turn on others and make it their faults. Well, it's the elder's fault. They're a good whipping horse. This is their fault. Well, you go ahead and lay it on them. But that's a tool of Satan. Satan's talking to you. Here's another good one. This is the last one I'm going to deal with. I told you I was been a long-winded preacher, but that clock is moving fast again. He robs us of our resources. What do you mean? Well, the best and foremost resource we have is our time. When I don't have time for the Lord, Satan's already used my time. When I don't have time to come out here and work around the building, Satan's used my time. What about our talent? When I don't do anything for the Lord's work, and I come in and sit down and expect everything just clockwork, and I haven't done nothing, Satan's using our talent. Let me read one, even though time's getting away from me. Let me read a scripture. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, let me talk to you about a very important scripture, Mark 16:15-16. Everybody knows that. I want to call your attention to it. And preach the gospel to every creature. You know, creatures that you run into and the creatures I run into is not necessarily the same creature. How are you going to answer that in the day of judgment? How are you going to answer that? Well, I don't think God expects me to go over in Africa and preach. No, you don't. You going to run across any creatures tomorrow? This is what it says. Preach the gospel to every creature. You have more creatures you run about than I have. I won't get answers to one that you run into, but I'll give answers to one I'm running. How are we going to answer that in the day of judgment? You know what I believe? I believe that's going to get a lot of us. That's going to get a lot of us. That's a device of the tool of Satan. Our money. Oh, I knew you were going to get around money sooner or another. I never seen a preacher before. Never preach about money. Well, I'm not going to say too much about money. Because money is not one of our objects, even though we're in debt here. Ourself. You know the reason I'm not going to say too much about money? If we give self, then the money is part of self. Talent is part of self. Time is part of self. So if we give ourself, all the others are going to fall right in and think, we will not give of our means until we give ourself. Yeah, we got a good contribution for a small congregation on the board. Seemed like $3,600. I go around to meetings. There's not very many small congregations that even comes close. We owe $300,000, so we got a long ways to go. Paul warns us that Christians are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. I have a responsibility to bring everyone I brought to you this morning. You know about. You know them. I know about it too. But it don't hurt to us to refresh our memories about it. Satan's purpose is to take advantage of God's people and prevent the salvation of our souls. We need to remember that. When something's telling us right the opposite of what we know it is, that's a tool of Satan. And he's trying to cause us to be lost. He caused disorder, discernment, discouragement, sorrow, destruction. We're very fortunate we don't have this. Not very many congregations in town can say that. But that's the way Satan gets in and destroys whole churches. He will use everything that God has made for good to take advantage of us. That's Satan for us. We know Satan is real. He cannot make us do anything, y'all. I want to leave you with this. But he sure can deceive us into doing it. Therefore, be on guard. Put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians the 6th chapter. This is the armor of God. This is the only way I know how to protect us against Satan. If I knew another way, I would share it with you. But this is the only way I know for this church to do that. Stand on the thus saith the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. And do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians the 5th chapter. I have to know this in order to recognize Satan's devices. Put a stop to the signs of Satan's devices or tools. And he has them. You're worried. Everybody here will agree, though, the eight that I just shared with you. And we could write down another eight before we get to the back door. False doctrine is one of his tools. Forgetting who we are is another one of his tools. In our prayer life, pouring our hearts out to God, talking to him. In our attendance, I was fortunate. I was raised by a family that I don't ever remember one time that ever came up if we was going to church or not. If they sat in service, we was going to be there. I owe my parents for that. When I get to heaven, I'm going to tell them that. And right living and reliving our guilt. We don't have to relive in our guilt. We don't have to go back to the old days. When you look in the mirror, you look the way God sees you as being pure and holy and righteous. The type of person is going to be around his throne in heaven. Satan wants us to look to the past, but we can't do that. In the time we spend to the Bible, that's a very important tool. And that's the reason Satan tries to keep us so busy that we don't have time to read our Bible. We don't have time to go to Bible study. We don't have time to do this. Let me tell you how I was raised. Let me tell you, if you was raised and your children do not see you reading the Bible, they do not see your attendance, how do you think your children are going to be? Common sense. In blaming others, our fault. It's not other people's fault. It's not my fault. I need to look in the mirror. In robbing us of our resources. I might not have very much, but whatever I do. I preach a sermon one time that a lot of us have the attitude that we treat God just like we do a dog. We take the straps from the table and give it to a dog, but we do the Lord that way. God won't take our scraps. Read your Bibles first and foremost about it. As Christian, we know the answer to Satan. His name is Jesus Christ. If you have problems with Satan this morning, Jesus Christ is the answer. That's the only thing I can tell you. Jesus is the answer to the problem with Satan. We have a responsibility to be the salt and light of the world. We are called to speak the truth of God's word to a society whose spiritual and moral foundation are crumbling at an alarming rate. We can see that. We can see that. All you have to do is go to the mall and see the need that we need to be salt and light. We must stand firm on His word or we will be in trouble. The answer rests with us and the church. That's the responsibility that we have here at Southside. And I need to be here. If I'm not here, then somebody else is doing it. And Satan is winning. You know, if Satan wins, we won't be in heaven. We'll be down there with Satan. I don't want to be there with him. We need to have a prayer life. And it's past time for us to be the salt and the light. Well, that's what I've come to say. We need to put a stop to Satan's devices. If you're here and you still following Satan, I think that you can step out this hour right here and say, I slapped him right upside the face. I'm not following Satan no more. I'm following Jesus Christ. May glory be to His name. Let me tell you, it's worth it. If I knew it wasn't worth it, I would tell you. But I have a responsibility to tell you it's worth it. Heaven is eternal. Forever and ever and ever and ever. If you don't think you're going to be with God forever and ever and ever, you need to do something about it this morning while we stand and sing. Tom?